I would like to give you today a very fast summary of goals in auditing as appertain to what the auditor does. What does an auditor do to achieve what result? Well, recently I was able to codify what an auditor was doing, regardless of how many interesting commands he might give. You see, he's only trying to handle three things: the postulates of the individual, the space of the individual, and the having of the individual, as appertain to earlier processes and so forth. He's just trying to handle these three things. Now you say, where's the energy? Well, that's the only place where an auditor gets into trouble, when he starts to handle energy. I can tell you from very long experience that any auditor who begins to handle energy as such is in for a long and arduous time, which is going to wind his pre-clear up way down scale. Any auditor who begins to handle energy as such, in other words, running concepts out of energy, is so limited that if pursued any length of time, will depress the tone of your preclear. Running flows, outflows and inflows, as such, if continued any length of time, will definitely depress the tone of your preclear. And neither one of these last two will wind up in a cleared individual. Now, the goal of the auditor is to clear somebody. Minimally, give him a definite release on some specific mental problem or psychosomatic illness. Minimally. His goal is to clear this person, and let's redefine clear slightly, just by saying that we put this individual into such a state of ability that he can exteriorize and interiorize into anything and everything he wishes, and so that he can communicate ably with something or nothing, with no qualms and without repercussion. Actually, that's quite a goal. All right. But that leaves us three things to handle. There is a fourth thing, but this is a slightly different category. Three things to handle in any basic process that you happen to use. And I don't care now whether you're using an old, ancient, antique, rickety process or a brand new, shiny one. Either way, you're just handling three things. Thought, which is to say postulates, the ability to think, the ability to change the mind, the ability to make a postulate, to make a statement. That one, space. And havingness. One, two, three. Now let's see why we handle postulates. In the final analysis, everything is a postulate. Everything came about by postulates. We just can make postulates the end all of everything, and we're very safe on it. Everything rationalizes out very nicely. And postulates, if treated as a top-flight goal, bring about a very, very fine condition, the part of a preclear. What are you trying to get him to do, in essence? Change his mind. He has a bad leg. He's crippled. You won't get that leg well unless he changes his mind about having to have a bad leg. Believe me, you won't. The doctors can saw and hew and use axes and materia medica and Morris Fishbines and everything else on him. And by George, his leg will not get well until he has made up his mind for his leg to get well. You're not going to sneak up on a preclear, in other words, and suddenly say abracadabra or something of the sort, and have him yet entirely well unless you at the same time are willing to accept him in his entirety into your universe and absolutely eat him and engulf him and drown all the self-determinism which he has. Now, you can make him a perfect specimen just like a sculptor, you know, can model a perfect statue. You can just engulf him in your universe and bang, got him. A great faith healer has to do this. No objection to you practicing faith healing or grabbing off as many individuals as you like. It's all fair game in this universe. But remember this, that it is not quite what we're doing. And if you were to get to a state where you did directed healing without the knowledge or consent of the person you were healing, remember that it is necessary to actually drag him into your universe, lock, stock, and barrel, legs, ears, tibias, and medulla oblongata, thetan, facsimiles, and all the rest of it, and monitor him thereafter. This, in essence, is the beginning of any religious cult. Somebody comes along who embracively heals a number of people. He yanks them into his universe, and the next thing you know, we have a cult. When somebody comes along and says to you, Dianetics and Scientology is a cult, this is a slight misnomer. Although I yank you into my universe to beat some facts into your heads, it's only just long enough to boot you the hell out. And say, stand on your own 2 feet. Now, there's, in essence, the slight difference here. Now, when we're working with processes which are working badly in the hands of auditors, you find more people going into the Scientology universe than come out. To keep the population. If you take them in, throw them out. Well, the way you throw them out is, of course, to restore their self-determinism. And actually, this is the only way you'll ever make anybody happy and able and well. All right, now let's take these methods and find out that in postulates, there's a slight hooker. Just a slight one, which is to say, there is an axiom to this effect. The postulate of a god of a universe is effective in that universe. Corollary, a universe is affected only by the postulates of the god of that universe. You understand that? I mean, that's a very simple one. So that actually, universe processing comes under the heading of one of these three I have mentioned. Postulates. Now, you may think you're handling space and havingness and everything else, and you may have to detour into these things in order to separate out universes, but at the same time, you're actually trying to do what? You're trying to get the individual very directly, quite directly, to stop running on Mama's postulates and start running on his own postulates. In other words, stop existing in Mama's space and live in his own space. And your effort, of course, is naturally to make his postulates effective in his own universe, which reverses the condition you find him in, which is to say, Mama's postulates effective in Mama's universe in which he dwelleth. He has already joined a cult there. Now, as we come down the line and look over these three things, we find out that any process, regardless of how artful, how interesting, how demanding of a preclear, so forth, is as effective as the auditor pays attention then to these three items. And if he goes astray, if he starts working with energy as such, if he starts running concepts as such, if he dives in and runs Rudy Rod processing, invented recently down in Alabama, you take a rod and shove it through the preclear and it comes out the other end, why? You have a rod back. It has Freudian significance. Anyway, the main difficulty that an auditor runs into is departing from these basics. Now, I don't say there won't be simpler basics someday, but I certainly tell you that at this time and for the last couple of years, when any process departed very far from these rudimentary things, it failed. Now, what do we have when we have a very clever, fast, witty, penetrating, sensitive auditor? What do we have, basically, if he's going to get any results? We have somebody who is working with postulates, space, and havingness. I don't care how witty he gets. But supposing we have a very witty and a sensitive and a far-reaching auditor who is getting no results. I mean, oh my, can he stir up a commotion with this case? Oh boy, he can just stir up a terrific commotion with the case. Well, case doesn't get well. What happens? He is not using postulates, space, and havingness. Now, let's take those last two as a highly specialized target. Let's just take those two. Let's take space and havingness. And let's regard that as a relatively lower echelon process, since it is junior to postulates. And let's see how we weave it in and out of a case so as to produce a remarked recovery on the part of the case. The mechanics involved here are those of space and havingness. As you know, space is a viewpoint of dimension. Havingness is time. Havingness, as an object, is condensed space. Now, of course, you can come along and say, what do you mean, condensed space? I mean, there's particles there. Well, all right, just for purposes of argument, because you've hit your head several times on particles that you agreed to, we will say, yes, there are particles there. We'll be very practical and say the number of nuclear physicists who have gone crazy studying particles definitely determine to us that particles exist. This proves it. Actually, by the way, the nuclear physicist who continues to study particles on and on and on and on is reaching further and further and further into a limbo of untruth. And he will eventually get stuck in deep. Because he's actually looking at something which, the harder he looks, further reduces toward nothing. You know, they at first were only going to split up the bread. And then after a while, they were going to split up the chemical substances that went up to make the bread, you know, take the compounds apart. And they got the compounds apart, so they started taking complex molecules apart. And then they started taking these apart, and they found out they were looking at atoms. And so they one day started to take atoms apart, and they were just as happy as could be because, by golly, they had split the atom, they had taken it apart, they had thrown it into its component parts, and then, by God, somebody had to split an electron. They can today split electrons and protons. And also they have found neutrons and positrons and mygadotrons and what nextotrons. And this is a great difficulty for a nuclear physicist. What's he doing? He's going down this dwindling path toward zero, all the while firmly believing he's looking at something. You see, there's nothing quite as convinced as the nuclear physicist believing he's looking at something. Of course, he finds nothing. And he finds himself unable to tolerate this idea of getting clear down to the bottom and finding nothing, so he takes the alternate, sometimes the happier choice, and simply goes mad. He stands up like Oppie did the other day, Oppenheimer, and says to the United States government, "Thou shalt not make an H-bomb." Bye-bye, Oppenheimer. We've picked your brains dry, and we have an English professor who studied some of your work in the early days, and we are now making an H-bomb with this English professor. Of course, it explodes and leaves a hole where Earth was. This is, of course, not your responsibility, Oppenheimer. You have no slightest stalk in Earth at all. So sooner or later down the line, a nuclear physicist tries to pull out. He has to. Because he is into the midst of an imponderable situation. He is looking for the particle and he can't find it. And that's the essence. What is the basic particle? The basic particle is zero. That makes just a lot more sense than any formula, by the way, in quantum mechanics. Now, an auditor who goes along firmly believing in messed universe, barriers, and so forth, is, of course, quite sane. He can recognize these things for what they are and use them and so forth and live his workaday life in them and get along just splendidly. But when he introduces into his processing the idea that a particle actually exists, he gets into trouble. We don't even have to go out on a long excursion for this. When he thinks in terms of condensing or uncondensing, that is to say, condensing or expanding space, and thinks of condensing space in terms of havingness, and expanding space in terms of nothingness, he succeeds with a case. What in essence is occurring as he processes this case? Now let's just look at a case, and you'll come much closer to home with what I'm talking about. I'm not wandering around very far from what you're doing. We say to a person, walk around the room and spot some spots in space. Then we say to him, all right, now look around and find some places where you are not. Or we ask him, get some places where your mother is safe. Or any one of these things, spots in space. What are you doing to this boy? Your preclear is in a state of mind quite ordinarily and usually, which brings him to believe that he can no longer create. Until he gets over this, and he just gets over to the natural course processing, until he gets over this, he keeps handling the condensed space which he already has in stock. So what's he do? He says around here, condensed space, you know, that's havingness. You take out 8, quote, anchor points, unquote, and pull them all together down to a point, you have a heavier mass. It's a heavier mass because you condense space. And don't think that space won't uncondense. It sure will, because it's put together with the postulate of condense. So naturally, it'll uncondense. So you ask this fellow, spot these spots in space. Bing, 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 bing. And if you kept this up for quite a while, all of a sudden you go, wah, 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 boil off. What'd you do to him? You uncondensed his stock of havingness. You looked up on the shelf and you said, now let's see, you've got this and this and this. Well, we will just take the soda crackers apart, and we'll take this apart, and we'll take that apart, and we'll take something else apart and something else apart. And then don't look at him, very surprised, and say, what, all the shelves are empty? Because naturally, they are. You emptied them. By doing what? By directing his attention into space. You said space, 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 spot space, spot space, spot space, spot space. I don't care what process you were using. They boil down to these two processes, which is spot space, condensed space. Either way. All right. Now, our next. Next thing. You say to this boy, well, he starts to boil up because you've done this. Now you say to him, put out 8 anchor points marking the corners of cube and bring them in, either on himself as a thetan or on his body. Put out 8 more. Bring them in. 8 more, bring them in. 8 new ones, 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 bring them in. 8. What are you doing? You're condensing space. Well, you went out here and you said spot, 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 you see? And that uncondensed, 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 uncondensed. All right, what did you better do next? You better tell him, condense, 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 condense. Now, this is not very difficult as we weave through all of processing. We discover that in the grand tour, we handle both havingness and space because we put people into objects which they've already consented exist. But by and large, we're handling space, really. And we exteriorize them and interiorize them and exteriorize them and interiorize them. Boy, you're putting them across a distance. You're saying space, 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 space. And all of a sudden your boy goes, He feels groggy. Feels unhappy. He's liable to come up at last and say, you know, I'm nothing but a thought. He's so sad about this. Now, when you put somebody then through something like the Grand Tour, remember, you're processing on the Grand Tour for a couple, 3 minutes. You say, put up eight anchor points, pull them in yourself, eight more, put them in yourself, eight more, pull them in yourself, eight more, pull them in yourself, okay. Mars, Sun, Moon. Start changing space on him again. He'll wear that havingness out. Now, it actually isn't true that he really needs the energy in order to make the circuit. But until you get him completely out of every foreign universe he's in, the postulates of the gods of those universes, such as there must be energy, will continue to be effective upon him. And as long as the postulate there must be energy is effective upon this preclear, you had better jolly well remedy his havingness. All right. Let's look over now and see how many different ways this could possibly apply. Change of space. You say, be in your childhood home, be in the room, childhood home, room, childhood home, room, childhood home, room, childhood. What'd you do? You just says, make space, make space, make space, make space, make space. And in the state you found him in, this started to uncondense his bank. After a while, he will actually just start creating the space he's making out there. He isn't running on the same energy, and you don't have to signalize the moment when he starts to do this. But as you do this, you run him out of his store of energy. Now, you'd certainly better fix him up by remedying his havingness. You say, all right, get something that he can accept and pull him in. Something except pull them in. All right, now let's take something else that's very interesting about this. Let's take the most occluded case there is and try to run change of space on him. You know, let's take a resistive 19. And we say to this boy, locate the center of the room. Now, boom. What'd you do? That's just the first step, and you just indicated one piece of space, and he started to get groggy, and he almost became sick at his stomach. Now, you see, he's just a little bit worse off than everybody else, you know. He really can't create. He is on the center of that create, survive, destroy curve. Everything he has, he got from somewhere else, he thinks. He can't create anything. He can only make things persist. And all of a sudden, you made some of his havingness unpersist. Just, you know, you said, locate the center of the room. This was enough. You start to get a little bit queasy on you. And I'm talking about a fellow who was really bad off. Now, theoretically, there are cases that you could say to, locate the center of the room, and they started to do so, they would become violently sick at their stomachs and begin to throw up. What would happen in such a case? Well, boy, you just had somebody whose havingness was all the way run out and who couldn't have any space anyway. And the second that you gave him the slightest bit of space, his havingness reduced way below tolerance. Well, what sort of state must he be in from day to day? You mean every time, any time he looks out into an emptiness of any kind, any time he has to recognize an emptiness, he will be very tense and possibly get sick at his stomach. But this individual, if he got sick at just recognizing the center of the room, must be in a chronic state of being ill and tense. His havingness is continually reduced very close to nothing when he feels he must have a great deal of it. His time will be upset. He will stick all over the time track. He will stick in any engram. If you just tell him about an engram, you say, all right, there's an incident on the track called the jiggler. And it goes this way and it goes that way. And the fellow says, he's in restimulation now. See, any energy is better than no energy. All right, now just look at this. Just make this a rule in your auditing. If you make this a rule in your auditing, a number of pre-clears that you will snap back to battery will just be uncounted because you will have greater and greater successes in your auditing regardless what processes you're using. If you're just using this basic of all processes, you say, anytime you say to this fellow, space, 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 keep your eye on him. You say, space, 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 you've got him on the E-meter, or you're keeping your eye on him, your E-meter starts to stick. Or his body twitches slightly. Or he looks a little more tense. Or his face starts to screw up and become rather uncomfortable one way or the other. Or muscular tension lines anywhere in the face begin to tighten. You know you have gone far enough, auditor. You've said space, 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 space. Space, 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 space. Space, space, space. Uh-oh, here we hit it. Now, you could go on with this fellow and say, space, 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 and he'd start doing this. All of a sudden, I've got to get out of here. Bing! He'll fly out of the chair on you. He'll jump up in the session. Any excuse you possibly want to list, he'll give you, but the basic one is you just started to tear apart too much havingness, and this was very uncomfortable to him. So away he went, or he got very tense, or his legs got very restless, or he began to shudder, and his attention went right straight off of what you were doing. What did do that? Well, you just said space, 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 which you might as well have said unhave, 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 unhave. Oh, you got a loss in restimulation now. Well, unhave some more, unhave, unhave. He's dying. You just, obviously, you're saying to him every time you say another spot in space, you're saying to him, die a little more. Okay, now another spot in space, die a little more now. Same thing. Well, this condition is something an auditor must watch. If he's going to watch anything about a preclear, he should watch that condition. He doesn't have to be sensitive to the preclear's moods and so forth. He just knows how much havingness this preclear has or hasn't. Well, now let's take a look at havingness. And let's find we have a step 89, something, and you know that there's always something that this fellow can have. And here we get into acceptance level processing. I call your attention to the PABs and acceptance level processing, and this is how it is used in the remedy of havingness. We get him to get something which is obviously acceptable to him. We say, this fellow seems to be having an awful lot of trouble, for instance. Seems to be having a lot of trouble with his teeth. Bad teeth are acceptable to him. He's got a twisted arm of some kind or another. You know, his arm is not quite right. Well, a bad arm is acceptable to him. And you know, he can actually get mock-ups of it. So what do you do? I don't care how thin the mock-up is. And boy, you should get this. Don't ever worry if your preclear's mock-ups are thin and unsubstantial and he's uncertain of them. This is one place where certainty doesn't apply. Just one place where it doesn't apply. It doesn't matter how thin these mock-ups are. Yes, you could get other things that might make them a little bit thicker and so forth, but all this will take place in due course. We take this preclear, and let's say he's got a twisted arm. We just have him get a twisted arm. We just have him get an arm that is more twisted than his arm. This is even therapeutic for the arm. But we're not interested in whether it's therapeutic for the arm or not. We're just trying to remedy this fellow's havingness. That's the only reason. And obviously, we've got to be able to get some energy into him that he can accept. So we'll have to get something he can mock up. But you say he's totally occluded and can't mock up anything. Oh, yes, he can mock up something. And there's where an auditor has to get clever. He has to look at the person and actually tell the person what he can mock up. He looks at the person. He sees so-and-so, so-and-so, so-and-so. Well, he says, now let's see if we can't get a mock-up of something or other. Now, actually, he could put it on the E-meter, name a number of subjects, and get a bop, and go ahead and have the preclear mock that up. He would be able to. But a good auditor hadn't got time to fool with that. He just looks at the preclear, finds this preclear. He knows what's wrong with the preclear anyhow. Preclear's told him. He's already had a little conversation with the preclear. And he finds out this fellow has a... Yeah, he's kind of sick at his stomach. A lot of the time. You know, upset stomach. Well, what's the auditor do? When he remedies having this on this preclear, the first step that he had better take is a stomach that is sick. Let's mark up a stomach that's good and sick, now push it into your body. Now, a stomach that's sick and push it into your body, and a stomach that's sick and put it into your body. Now, let's mark up a couple of stomachs that are sick. Oh, you can't get two. Well, get two in a row. All right, a couple more. Okay, feel better now? Okay, now let's spot some spots in the room. Bang, bang, bang. Bang. All right, let's mark up another stomach now. Push it into your body and another stomach. Now let's mark up a stomach that is vomiting violently. Oh, you can get that real good. All right, we'll put that into your stomach. And so on, another one and another one and another one. Now see if you can't get them in two at a time. Oh, you can still get them in two. One at a time. Well, that's all right. Push in a few more. All right, now let's spot some space here. Let's spot the space of the room. Bing, 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 bing. Bing. Well, you say get another stomach now and see if you can get this one really violently vomiting. Oh, yes, I can get that fine now. Let's see if you can get two of them. Yeah? Yeah, I can get two of them. All right, get two more and push them in. Two more and push them in. Two more and push them in. Good, good, fine. Now, can you get three of them? Oh, he can't. Well, let's spot some spots in the room. Bing, 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 bing. Now, let's see if we can't really spot a spot in space now, okay? Bing, 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 bing. Yes, yes, yes. You know, things are getting a lot brighter. Bing, 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 bing. Bing. Well, now, let's see if you can't get three stomachs out there in front of you. Yeah, we'll push them in. Get four. Yeah, push them in. Now, see if you can get four of them around you so that they sort of make a square around the body. Yep, yep, yeah, I can do that. Push them in. They're awful thin, though. I can hardly see them at all. You know that now. You know I really don't see them well. No, no, that's okay. That's fine. Just get them out there so you can see them slightly. Push them in. Some more, push them in. Some more, push them in. Okay. Golly, you know this fellow about this time. He knows something is happening. Well, he better, and he would. I don't care how fancy you were getting, or how you were changing his space, or what else you were doing, if you even vaguely work the case at all, you're going to be referring him to space, or referring him to having this, and this last one, or referring him to ideas. Now, you don't really have to pay much attention to this. You're just working ideas like in 8C, some of the steps in 8C. But every time it says, put something out away from you now, and or spot some places or anything like that, boy, you're right there into the problem of havingness and space. Of course, we just avoid energy because energy is space on the way to becoming havingness. Or havingness on the way to becoming space. So, of course, your preclear is going to get flows as you process this. They'll just go wham, 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 wham. Occasionally, you'll be having the Aurora Borealis and a 17-gun salute going off simultaneously. Flows, flows, flows. They're flowing out. They're flowing in. They're flowing this way. They're flowing that way. Skip them. So what? An automaticity shows up that is so startling that he doesn't know what in the dickens happened. Have him duplicate it. Bing, bing, bing. Duplicate it, duplicate it, duplicate it, duplicate it, duplicate it. And he's, double with it. And go on with the process. The only reason you handle these automaticities, sometimes you coast by them and ignore them. You know, some trick automaticity says, you know, a Roman candle just appeared in front of my face and fired 12 times. And you as an auditor say, well, go on, spot some spots in space. He says, hell, the guy isn't interested in me. And he objects to this. He'll stay there kind of determinedly with the Roman candle. So if you pay some attention to the Roman candle, why, he'll go on processing. But sometimes you could process him for another hour after that with his case making no progress. Why? He's waiting for you to notice the Roman candle. So, the way you solve that in any event, something comes up, he says, you know, we were just spotting places where nuns would be safe, and you know, they're all on fire. You know, all of them are on fire. What do you know about that? And you say, that's very interesting. Actually, you don't give a damn. Really. I mean, basically, as far as the process is concerned, all the nuns lit on fire might mean that you had just run into his essential part of his life as Torquemada or something of the sort. Well, we're not interested particularly in this because all kinds of engrams will turn on as you handle remedy space. All kinds of them will. So we don't pay any attention to this particularly. But he seems quite bemused and amazed by this. And sometimes the free clear will just sit there dully, you know, not responding for a little while. You've asked him to do something. You said spot some more spots in space. Obviously, it wasn't something that should give him a communication lag. And he just sits there. You ask him for every moment what you're doing. And he says, all these nuns just caught on fire. He says, they're all over the place. He said, and they're burning and so forth. Well, why don't you mock up a bunch more nuns on fire? Okay, and a bunch more, and a lot more, and a lot more. Yeah, he says, yeah. He says, now spot some spots in space, you say. In other words, let's remember this. When it comes to space and havingness, you're essentially involved with attention. When it comes to a viewpoint, you're essentially involved with attention. And if you get this guy into a position where his attention is fixed on some phenomena, which, good, bad, or indifferent, these phenomena have bemused him, you've, of course, got his attention out here. It's actually practically in present time. It isn't necessary that you've re-stimulated an old attention fixation. He's just interested. And he's so interested that he's making the space he's making. He's not doing the process you're doing. So remember, attention. It ties in with making a space. Okay, now let's run just a little bit further afield. Let's get a very old and basic process. Let's take SOP 8, step 5. That is exteriorization by moving scenery under the preclear. You have him move scenery under himself until he exteriorizes. Well, this works all right. Without remedy of havingness, if he isn't a very critical case. If his havingness is critical, you've just started to run change of space processing on him. You said, move New York under you, move London under you, move New York under you, move London under you, move London. He starts to say, no. Ugh. Your case will bog because you are actually change space processing. If you were to run this change of space processing as a group process, why, you would have yourself the most amazing results, and the group, several of them, the occluded cases, would leave. Very amazing results. You start to process this group. The cases that are worst off in the group simply depart. The second you start to run change of space or run in too much space on them as a group process, the ones that are bad off will leave. Because in a group it is very difficult to remedy havingness, and the only whole in group processing is the remedy of havingness. We can group process as long as we don't too violently upset people's havingness. And if we do, let's have an emergency auditor aside, and the emergency auditor should make it his first business to recognize that what the audit group auditor did was reduce this preclear's havingness beyond tolerance. Therefore, the group emergency auditor, distinct from the group auditor, the emergency auditor is the guy that reaches into the group and grabs the guy or picks him up as he races for the door or something of the sort and gets him into a side room and fixes him up and pushes him back into the group again. It's just a patch-up job. He isn't trying to do anything for the case, just beyond patching it up. He should remedy, the group emergency auditor should remedy the preclear's havingness. That is, get something he can mock up and have him pull it in several times. Optimum, of course, is just to mock up anchor points, but there are so many people that can't mock up anchor points that you have to go into acceptance-level processing. If they can't mock up an anchor point, you have to go into acceptance-level processing. All right, so we have this process, SOP 8, step 5, at where we have move these cities under you. Back and forth, city, 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 city. Change of space, remember. You just keep your eye on the preclear. The next thing you know, you're going to see a muscle twitch. Or the E-meter's going to come up and go rigid. Well, as a matter of fact, you're a very, very poor auditor if you didn't notice it till the E-meter told you. I hate to say that about E-meters because they detect an awful lot and they take a lot of strain off of an auditor. But if you didn't notice you were taking his havingness apart before the E-meter stuck, you're dull. You're not on the ball at all. No, because why? As he does this, you will notice a growing body tension. You're just running him fresh out of havingness, you know? And he started to pull in all kinds of engrams, which are just waiting out here a foot or two from him or a little ways away, but not particularly hurtful. And the second you start to run some space into his case, in other words, change these cities around, you know, distance. Anytime we start to handle distance, anytime we start to spot space, we are actually making the case unhave. And the tension comes up in the person, in the preclear, quite rapidly. And you'll notice that the threshold of havingness, that is to say, the threshold of remedy was what you're looking for. You're waiting for this threshold of remedy to appear. You know, it appears, and you remedy the havingness. And when you first started processing, you found that doggone thing appearing every 3 or 4 minutes. The threshold is right there. And then pretty soon, it's every 10 minutes. And then pretty soon, it's every half hour. And then pretty soon, it's every couple hours. And it's not until you get him exteriorized and are really chasing him around. Remember, you have to remedy having this in ratio to the amount of space you're giving him, and you start giving him changes of space all over the messed universe. Brother, do you tear high havingness apart in a hurry? And so, as a result, you have to remedy it in proportion to the amount of space you're giving him. But as far as just ordinary processing is concerned, maybe reach and withdraw in the childhood home, that's a space process, you see. Reach, withdraw, childhood home. He ran, and got a little tenser. And you says, okay, now let's see if we can't get some kind of a mock-up. What kind of a mock-up can you get? And he says, what's a mock-up? And you say, oh, an image picture of some sort or another. Well, what kind of one can you get? He says, oh, I don't know. I get this one I'm looking at all the time. It seems to have gotten closer to me, he will say. Well, what one is that? Oh, that's my grandfather's face in the coffin. Well, why don't you mock up a terrifically decayed grandfather? Always make your mock-up worse for such preclears than he mentioned. That's the rule of thumb. What he mentioned to you is the suspended state of havingness. He can't quite have it. So you make it worse and it'll snap in. So let's have a decayed grandfather. Okay, one particularly with some worms on him, or some decayed flesh, something like that, and having the preclear going, yeah, he didn't want this. See? But snap, 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 snap. He's been staring at a picture of his grandfather's face in the coffin for the last 10 years. You knocked it out with 5 or 10 commands to walk up things and pull them in. You don't even consider this remarkable because that's not your goal. Your goal is freedom, and the antithesis of freedom is restriction. And energy in suspension or in terms of havingness is in itself restriction. So therefore, you're trying to free him out of this restrictive circumstance. He will note phenomena occurring and will be quite satisfied one way or the other. So we get into the other phase of what you do if you want to be a howling success as an auditor, is you set a goal for the session which you know you can achieve with the techniques which you can work on this preclear. All right, you set some kind of a little minor goal. It's just an obvious thing. Usually you don't set it before you process the preclear. You process him for a minute or two and then set it and say, well, we're going to do so-and-so with this boy. And then you just go on and process him until you do it. Something very simple. And when you have done it, why, end of session. And that way, it gives you a cycle of action every time. Not that you're delicate, but it makes him happy with you as an auditor. And most of the reasons preclears get unhappy with auditors is really not really even communication breaks or anything like that. It's because the auditor never seems to have a finite end to the session. He never tries to really get anything accomplished in the session. He never considers that it's up there and accomplished. And after a while, the freak there gets the idea of no end of processing. So let's take a case just in point. And I'll describe this case to you at some little length. Processed this case yesterday morning. And just grabbed him for your benefit and processed him. Because this case didn't even come in the what fog category that we put all Los Angeles people in. We got this case into the office because it was one of the doctor diploma cases of an auditor. He was incautious enough to bring a real bad off case into the office in there right at the moment when I was fishing around for a case to demonstrate a process on. Not for anybody. I just wanted to process this case so that I'd give you a little accurate rundown on exactly one case. Now, this fellow's been around for a long time, this case has. He's a nice guy, actually. But he's been around for an awful long time. Nothing much has happened in his case. He's been processed by many auditors. Many auditors have been interested in him. The auditors picked him up for a doctored case. See, no fee involved in the thing. It doesn't matter one way or the other whether a fee is involved for a doctored case. But he picked him up and intended to turn him in. Well, this fellow have been processed, I know, by about five different auditors. His case always gets a tiny little bit better. Tiny little bit better. Obviously, there's something wrong with the processes which have been given to this case. This case wearing thick glasses. The eyes and so forth are very, very squinted. They're tiny little slit, usually visible of the eyes. Sort of driven all the time, and a marked and heavy tension on the case, you know. Don't quite know where we're going, but we're liable to jump in any direction at any instant. And at the same time, can't really see where we're going to jump to on account of we can't see. This kind of an attitude. Well, this case was a setup for what I wanted. And so I processed this case for about an hour and a half. It's very interesting to process a case for an hour and a half these days. I mean, that's a long time. And you haven't yet maybe learned that, but that is. But this case was so deficient in terms of heaviness that he was in a continual state of fly out of the room. The kind of an acute state that you'll occasionally put somebody into in a group processing session. He all of a sudden can't hold his legs still. He feels he's going to shake himself to pieces and he's going to run away. Well, this boy was in that state day after day after day after day, which makes an interesting thing, that he was still amongst us. What'd we do with this case? To get the case's interest, I didn't even tell him to go on processing. I stuck up on him. Didn't have any time to put any brakes on. You wouldn't ordinarily do that as an auditor. And sometimes quite effective. Also, it occasionally upsets their self-determinism. They all of a sudden find themselves being processed and they didn't consent to be processed. This upsets them, but this fellow is below the range of consent. There's the age of consent and there's the place of consent on the tone scale. And the place of consent on the tone scale is above 2.5. You're perfectly in your rights as an auditor to kneel on somebody with both knees and process them any place below that, consent or no consent. Well, anyway, he came in, and he was squinting around at this and that. So I said to him, take your glasses off and get the idea of how nice it is, all that blurred scenery. Just get the idea of enjoying all that blurred scenery. Guy hadn't even talked about processing, but he did. What did I tell him to do? I said, look at some space. Now let's just be calm about it now. Now just take a look without your glasses. And his eyes crossed. And almost crossed over across. That's how scarce he was on energy. His eyes just went in, whang. So I said, well, all right, now let's read this book. You know, a little headingness. It's a real sneaky sort of processing. Now, where's this book comfortable? In front of you. There. Dong. He got it about 5 inches away from his eyes. After been processing for a very short time, and that's just... You say, where is it comfortable? It's comfortable down the South Pacific. As long as you had your face in a book, you didn't know have to know what was going on out there. You were the other guy. He explains all this to me. No real significance, because his case isn't in a kind of a state whereby anything like that would spring by itself. But he recognized it, that he was buried in a book to escape reality right there. Bang. Good. Fine. Now, I said, let's take a look at the scenery and get the idea of enjoying a blurred point of view. What if everything were blurred? What if this book here were blurred? All fuzzy. Get the idea that it's printed in cotton batten. Oh, wrong. See? And I made my own statement of what we were going to do in this session. This was just monkey business up to this point, see? But I made my postulate what we are going to do in this session. And what we're going to do in this session is make it so this man can relax. This man has probably not relaxed for 10 years. So let's fix him up so he can relax. Now, how are we going to have to do that? He's going to have to be able, obviously, to have some space. Okay? All right. Let's mock up a pair of eyeballs that aren't good. Bad eyeballs. Bing, bing, yeah, sure. Oh, boy, could he get those. Crushed, he says. Well, I says, we'll get them with the juice running out of them. And he says, okay. Oh, he says, but that makes me awfully sick at my stomach. And I said, well, get a stomach that's vomiting. Okay. Oh, he says, it's awfully bruised. He says, you're sure vomiting, too. Yes, he could get that easily. That didn't surprise him. This was one of the first times he ever got a mock-up. But it was so sudden, and it seemed so natural to him, that, you see why? I never let him make the postulate, I can't get a mock-up. I just handed him two he could get. Obviously, he had a tense stomach, so he could get a bunged-up stomach. He had bad eyes, so he could get two bad eyes. So we just got streams of these things coming in. See? Streams of them. And we got more and more of them, and more and more of them, more and more of them. And boy, he started to get into a state where he was going to throw up any second. And he says, if you keep this up any longer, he says, I'm just going to throw up right here in your office. Well, now, look at this, auditor. If I had stopped that and had told him to spot some space, he would have thrown up. In other words, your control over Preclear, if you know your stuff, practically monitors his autonomic nervous system. You could just change the process and make him throw up just like that. You could stop the headingness. See, throw up, he's going to get tense, you know? Tension. He's going to push away energy of some kind or another. Energy manifestations are going to occur here. Well, the thing to do is, of course, give him more headingness. So we just got stomachs vomiting twice as hard. And eyes, which were really squashed at the same time we were getting the stomachs. And so on. We got that, you know, mock it up, shove it in, mock it up, shove it in, mock it up, shove it in, more and more and more of them. Okay, now let's get an idea of a nice blurred viewpoint now. You see, that's a covert method of saying some space, fella. Now we got some space. Okay, he looks around and he says, zoom. But you know, his eyes didn't go bong. They didn't cross. You see, as you remedy the space, you put him into a position where he's got to create some havingness. So then you ask him to make some havingness, observes or makes some space, and gradually he shakes off the top of the curve so that he isn't just burning up his bank. And that's what you're trying to get him out of, burning his bank up. You're trying to get him out to a point where he just creates all the space and all the energy that anybody could possibly want or need freely without having to remedy anything, and that's your goal. Well, the goal with this fellow is let's get him in such a condition that he can actually stand there, draw a long breath, and say it's a nice day. In other words, relax and enjoy the relaxation. Let's get him in that state. So therefore, we had to spot a little space, observe that blurred room, and look out this way or that way, you know, a little space, and then we have to keep giving him this body. Now, you could say, actually, if you'd been watching the session, you'd said, Ron is knocking out a specific engram out of this case. Because that's, we only worked with one engram. Only, boy, did we get lots of it. And I don't even know that it knocked it out of the case. The fellow accidentally has been in it for years. I didn't care whether he was ever in this engram or not, or what engram was turning up. It made no difference to me at all. If it had been a different engram or a dozen different engrams, I would have used them equally fast just to do these other two things, you know, just remedies having this by making him condense masses into himself and expand by having him spot space. Well, we worked it up to a point of where he was getting a dead body or a body that was dying, which was still being kicked and punished, its eyes smashed in. A couple of engrams flashed through, by the way. Galley slave, hit over the back of the head, knocked across his oar, so forth. He's told auditors about these things before. His interest in them is quite great, merely because they're interesting curiosa. Didn't cut any ice with me. I just ignored the whole thing just by saying, yeah, that's real interesting. Good, good. Now let's get that dead body there with the squashed eyes and the stomach and so forth and, you know, get the idea of its space being knocked in and being kicked and so on. Oh, yes, he says, I certainly can get that. You know, he says, that's all the space there is right there. He said, that's all the space there is right there. Yes, sir. Did I say, well, good, we've solved something with this case? Hell no. We didn't care about that at all. So I said, well, pick up the dead body and put it in yourself there and get another one now with the space all knocked in and put that in. Another one with the space knocked in and put that in. Another one and 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 another one. Jesus, that sure is relaxed. And then all of a sudden went into a terrific line charge. He had at last found something that was relaxed. I never told him my goal in the processing, see. He had found something relaxed. There's nothing quite as relaxed as a dead body. And this individual, in order not to be dead, of course, had to go around being terrifically tense. But that is the basic mechanism of life. It wasn't just in this engram. See? But this satisfied him a great deal. And I got him to look at some more space and mock up some more dead bodies and look at some more space and mock up some more dead bodies. And the next thing you know, he was rejecting his glasses rather impatiently. He's taking them off his nose and shoving them onto the desk and then picking them up and putting them on. I finally had to tell him to put his glasses on so he could see better because he's looking around and squinting. You know, we hadn't gotten this case completely out of the woods. But we had this case in such a state that the fellow could relax, and that was the goal of the session. So we just ended it right there. First time the guy's relaxed probably in the last 10 years. So he's relaxed. Good. Goal of session. This individual, quite unwittingly, has moved further out from the peak of the best universe curve of create, survive, destroy, move further out from the peak of survive, a little bit closer to being able to create and destroy. By doing what? Some space, some condensation. Some space, some condensation. Now, if I'd ask him to move his childhood home under him, or anything as far out as that, this individual would have thrown up. Because that was too much for the case. So auditor judgment enters in here. This fellow can get fairly good mock-ups. He can mock up anchor points and pull them in on himself. He can do several of these little items. So on. Well, let's change space all over the place. He can't quite exteriorize. Well, he will very shortly. So we just have him spot places in space, pull areas under him, anything you want. You can do anything you want to do with a case. But everyone of these processes are successful lies on these three items, postulates, space, havingness. And postulates, of course, depend upon universe processing, which is a slightly different thing than what we've just been talking about, simply because we're changing universes around all the time. But we still have to occasionally remedy havingness with universe processing. But if you audit against that background, you will audit successfully. And if you don't, you'll have failures.